Hello, everybody, and welcome to Shoot the Stuff. My name's Brett.
I'm David.
I'm Grant.
I'm Ben.
And here we go again. What are we talking about? You guys won't tell me.
I am going to actually talk about my trip to Adepticon.
Oh.
Yay.
You were there just before it started.
I was while it was being set up. I think I was. It was being set up. It was a big room filled with a bunch of toys, and I was like, oh, Ben must be coming here.
Yep, that was exactly it. They knew I was coming. So Adepticon.
Grant, do not fight with the microphone. It will win.
You know what?
Every time.
It muttered something I didn't like. So. Sorry, go ahead.
So Adepticon, as my British cousin said, I have to point out that he's British just because I enjoy that. As he said, this is Mecca for gamers. It's definitely a tabletop. They do a lot of, you know, Warhammer or X-Wing was another big draw. A couple other smaller games that people have gotten into over the years. But it's pretty much a giant tournament that lasts over pretty much 4 days. And I got to go with Amelia. I let her run amok amongst the bearded folk, as another friend called them. because everybody there probably lives with their mother and has a beard. But there were a couple families we saw there, which was kind of nice for me because I went, Adrian, you have to come now. There's other women there. But this year they actually did do a cosplay thing, which I did not stay for. But they had a rock band there, and they all dressed like orcs, and it was awesome from what I was told. I didn't stay for that either. I'll be honest. I just showed up to kind of walk around and kill a couple hours. Amelia took a photo with these guys from this site called Mini Wargamers. They put on a lot of product that's just like, hey, here's how you play, here's what you do, that kind of thing. So she got a picture with one of them. She wore a shirt that said Blood for the Blood God that I made her. And then it had a symbol on the back for corn and some chaos symbols around. So she was definitely one of the little adorable children running around, running amok. But it, you know what? There's a lot of stuff that even like you guys that aren't into tabletop games would actually probably enjoy. For instance, Drunk Quest, which I have yet to buy, but I think I'm going to do it, is a kind of card game that you you defeat monsters with as you're drinking. So it just seems like something that would kind of fit our group, our repertoire of games that we might play. So I think I'm going to have to buy that. And they literally had this lady driving around like one of these bikes with beers in it.
Nice.
And she sold beer from the bike and you played the game. So
nice. All right.
There's a lot of neat stuff that next year when it comes around, it is worth checking out for at least a day, but I would go like one of the first days when people aren't there, because by Saturday or Sunday when we went, it was just mobbed. You could not walk around. You couldn't get anywhere in the place. It's at the Schomburg Renaissance. It's a pretty big event.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's grown exponentially every year. It's only been going on this particular one for like 4 years now, and they've moved three places now just to get into the Renaissance where it's finally big enough to hold them.
Nice.
But it's a cool thing. They do some very random tournaments as well. Like, there's not just these strict, hey, who's the champion? It's like, here's a bunch of friendly games. They have one I really want to do where you take pretty much a flying creature and then you take a driving creature and you literally race, you and a buddy, you know, each of you take one or the other, and then you race like eight other people down like an 8-foot course. It seems like a lot of fun. They do some nighttime stuff. They have just a bunch of events going on all day. There's a bunch of like I said, gamers. There's a bunch of people just selling their products. It's a pretty cool event, so I would check that out. While I was off for that week that I went to Adepticon, I also got to take in a Blackhawks game, which is probably the first one I've taken in like 2 years. Jeez. Because tickets have gotten really effing expensive.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, I love the Blackhawks. I love that they're a great team again, but I kind of miss them being the crummy team at the bottom of the division.
As a Cubs fan, I know exactly where you're
coming
from.
We're going to feel that this coming up.
Oh, God, you know what? The prices jumped for the Hawks like the first year they jumped like 25%. The Cubs tickets are probably going to jump more like 800%.
Well, they jumped only 19%, but they were already pretty damn expensive as it was.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, David, I know, didn't you get to see the trophy this weekend or last, whatever weekend
yeah,
we're in?
Yeah, last week.
Where am I? Who were you? Were you?
We're somewhere. Yeah, earlier last week, I was working an event and they had the commissioner's trophy, which that's another thing that I want to quickly mention, that it really pisses me off when people call it the World Series trophy. It's the commissioner's trophy. That's what it's called. It's not the Cubs World Series trophy. So when they announced that it was the World Series trophy, kind of cringed a little bit, but I got past that. So it was kind of neat to see that. I also saw the Stanley Cup there, which was kind of neat too. But while I was there, all the people were wearing all their Cubs gear and stuff like that. And as I'm sitting there working there, I couldn't help but think that I hated everyone there. I hated everyone. I'm like, I hate you all, because I just felt like everyone there was a bandwagon fan.
Oh, they probably were.
And I was like,
I was there.
There's probably a good chunk of you that aren't, but I don't know that. So I have to think that you all are bandwagoners just because they won, and I hate you all for it. There was a couple people there that were true to their team. There was a guy that was wearing a Sox jersey with a little like angry face on it. Because I'm like, all right, whatever, you know, it's kind of funny, but whatever. But I just couldn't help but thinking, like, I hate all you people here because you all just seem like bandwagon fans. And I want to know if you can relate to that, Ben, because you being the big Blackhawks fan, I imagine that was the same way when they won.
I'd imagine probably worse for you, too, because nobody in Chicago knew what hockey even was.
No one realized it was a team in all of Chicago.
That's a good
point,
least
we knew the Cubs were there. You know,
right.
they were the lovable losers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where the Blackhawks were who? You mean the people that used to live here before we took over Chicago? But yeah, I definitely agree that there's a lot of bandwagon fans, and I'm definitely double-sided on that. Like, I'm glad that they exist. I mm-hmm. am, because with them existing gives the Blackhawks or gives the Cubs, it gives any team kind of a reason to keep going. You know, that is their income source, really. All those bandwagon fans, those are the ones that are buying the tickets that I can't afford to buy anymore. So I'm glad someone is there to buy them.
Right.
I hate them because they're the exact reason that tickets are out of my price range.
Yeah.
So it's a 50-50. I always look at people and I just go, okay, who's your favorite Blackhawks player? Oh, Jonathan Toews. Oh, how typical. How about someone you know, that played before 2000?
Yeah.
They were a team? Yeah, you know, there were some guys that they used to skate here. You know, their names were like Jeremy Roenick, Chelios or Amante, or who I got to see when I went to that Blackhawks game at Balfour. And for me, it's mm-hmm. great that I still kind of have that connection. And that's how I always tell whether someone's a real fan or not. Because as soon as mm-hmm. I ask them that question, if they can't give me a solid answer, like even if they say Zamenhof, I go, okay, you know who I'm talking about.
Right.
If they can't even name Zamenhof, who was the captain of the team through pretty much the entire 90s, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah.
We have nothing to discuss.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think, what I'm going to be doing now from now on. I'm just going to go up, if I see someone's a Cubs fan, I'm going to be like, oh, hey, do you know who Bobby Scales is? Daryl Ward? No? All right, we're done.
Well, that's a little unfair. Start with, like, Mark Pryor.
Yeah,
or
you
got to
give
Wood.
Him some.
All right,
I mean, I think we're the only ones who knew who freaking Bobby Scales is.
You're probably right. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a little cruel.
The Cubs are doing this thing called the Ring Bearer. Where you had to be nominated to, you know, you get the opportunity to hand the team or a player their World Series ring, which is a really cool
that's
experience.
Neat.
And I love that the Cubs did it. I love that they put it out there for, you know, fans to kind of have the opportunity to have an experience like that. The only catch was you had to be nominated, and nobody nominated me.
I didn't know.
Yeah, you should have told us.
But
we're not Cubs fans.
No, I was watching some of these videos. And, David, if you really want to get pissed off over bandwagon fans, watch some of these videos.
Oh,
I found four videos where someone said their all-time favorite Cub, get ready for this.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh.
David Ross. Let me repeat that. Your all-time favorite Cub is David Ross.
Now, I would like you to explain that
okay.
for people that aren't in our area.
Absolutely. So, David Ross retired this past year. He is, at best, an okay player. Now, the thing why he became so popular is because, and it's more so the Cubs that did it, they gave him a year-long retirement party. And he's played for, like, what, 10 different teams, and, you know, never spent more than two seasons with a team. I think, yeah, he has just over 100 home runs in his entire career. He's a backup catcher. You know, he's a journeyman. He's not your Rizzos or your Bryant. He's not one of those guys by any means.
He's very much an average player.
Exactly. Now, he's a very likable guy. In his interviews and everything, he's very transparent. You can see right through him. You can see the kind of guy he is. I wouldn't care if he invited me out for a beer. I mean, that I would say yes. But he was in Chicago for 2 years and was productive for one of those years. Now, granted, that was the year that they won the World Series, and in his very last game, Game 7 of the World Series, he hit a home run. It's a great story. It really is. But if you're really going to sit here and say that a career, 250 hitter at best
yeah.
is your all-time favorite Cub, yeah. Ron Santo, Ernie Banks, Kerry Wood, Sammy Sosa, really?
Mark Grace.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I know one of them.
Ryan Sandberg. I mean, you could go through the six retired numbers and be like, David, really?
Right. Well, and I did tell you after the, you know, probably a week after the they won, you know, I was like, you know what? I got to get a jersey this year. I have to finally spend the money. And that's really been it. I haven't bought a Cubs jersey because I won't even spend the money on a Hawks jersey, to be honest. So I'm like, all right, maybe I will buy one this year. And I told you that if I was going to get one, it was probably going to be Ross. And it wasn't even because he was a good player, because I don't know enough about the guy. Mm-hmm. I just knew he was retiring, and I went, oh, cool. It'll be a number that will always be associated with this guy for the most part that I don't have to defend when or why I bought it. You know, I bought it because he hit the home run. He seemed like a good guy. That's all the criteria I need. After this, though, anyone that kind of buys a Ross jersey after it is kind of,
well,
you know, you see guys buy like Hull and Makita jerseys mm-hmm. well after the fact that they've been playing.
But by no means is Hull and Makita or David Ross is
right,
not Hull.
Exactly.
And, I mean,
after right. this year, if you didn't buy a Ross jersey this year, don't buy one. You're an idiot. He will be a forgotten Cub, really. I mean, I understand that they're trying to do a lot of work with him. They're kind of trying to keep him like involved in the organization.
He's an ambassador of sorts.
Right.
You know?
He's going to be pretty much what I can't believe I forgot his name all of a sudden. He's like the one Blackhawk I actually have his signature, but he does the reports after the game for the CSN.
Oh, Steve Conroy?
No.
Or Jamal Mayers.
Jamal Mayers. I think he's going to be that guy. He's going to be the guy that comes in, does a couple reports every here and there, but that's going to be about it.
Well, and it's kind of fun. I mean, the story behind David Ross this past year is really a great one. It is. The Game 7 home mm-hmm. run, retiring a champion with a team that hasn't won in 108 years. It really is a great story, but that's as far as it goes.
Right.
Right.
He is not a Cubs legend by any means.
No.
By no means at all. Number 3 should not be retired because of David Ross.
Right. Right.
And some of these people who just started watching this year would argue with you on that and have think they're right, which is just sad.
But yeah, but like then in our case, like if you actually watched them during the season, you would realize he was just an average player. I mean,
well, and
he had a good year this year,
right?
But if you watched over the last 2 years, you would realize that this year was kind of like a career year for him.
Now, looking over all of his stats for the last few years, you know, since he started, was this actually his best year?
Yeah,
it was. In 2015, his first year with the Cubs. And I'll be honest, before 2015, I knew David Ross was on the Red Sox in 2013 when they won it.
Right.
And that was the extent of it. You know,
I was indifferent to the guy.
Right. Like I said, the story of the year is really what made him as famous as he is. Mm-hmm. I think he hit, 10 home runs this year as opposed to his one in 2015?
Right.
So, I mean, for a 38-year-old to be like, I'm retiring and I want to go out a winner and he trained and all that stuff, it's great and everything. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, outside of that, to say David Ross is your all-time favorite hero.
It's a bold statement.
Yeah.
It's a real
He is on Dancing with the Stars now.
That was my next point.
Yeah.
So wait, if you're on Dancing with the Stars, you can't possibly be one of the great all-times?
Well,
that the rule?
Dancing with the Stars doesn't really... I mean, they had Emmitt Smith and everything, but...
I was just going to say that.
I mean, he is the first baseball player.
He is the first baseball player, which is cool.
And they did a whole baseball theme
right.
for one of his dances.
But I think it's just one of those,
See, I do pay attention
you
to
know,
modern
riding
shit.
The coattails of the World Series and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Oh, for sure.
He was asked to do this, and he was like, you know, within a year, I'm going to go into obscurity outside of Chicago. So, yeah.
Along the lines of that, I kind of get a little angry when everybody refers to him as Grandpa Rossi. because it was kind of like the inside thing. Like, hey, if you're a fan of the team, you know that that's what we call him by. But now everybody calls him Grandpa Rossi.
Well, it was started by Rizzo and Brian.
Right. But now everybody is referring to him as Grandpa Rossi. I'm like, no, you don't get to do that. You don't understand. You don't get to call him that.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time on the Cubs because I could go on for like the next 6 hours talking about this. But
we could do 12 episodes.
When we were at spring training, just to go along with like the bandwagon talk, there were these guys standing behind us during one of the games, and we were on the lawn, and the blanket we were sitting on, I had to like clench to keep my mouth shut. But there were these guys behind us, and they were like, so, how do you think the team's going to do without Fowler?
Oh, and, oh God, yeah.
And the one guy goes, you know, I don't think they'll be too bad. He didn't really do much for us last year. And I go, well, wait a second. I mean, he did do quite a bit for us last year. And I'm going to go back and forth. I'm going to have a conversation masturbation on this one for a second.
Do it.
So bear with me. but anyway, so the guy was like, you know, he didn't really do much for us last year, so good riddance. And the one guy's like, well, he won us a World Series. And the other guy goes, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about Jason Hayward. And I'm like, this whole conversation is fucked. Everything about this conversation is shit. So, yes, Hayward did have a shitty year last year. I'll give you that. We'll push that under the rug and be done with that. Fowler did do well for us last year, but to go as far as to say that he won you the World Series, no. It wasn't because of Fowler. You know, yes, he had a great year. He hit the leadoff home run in Game 7. He's a good leadoff man, but you have guys like Rizzo and Bryant and Zobrist behind you. So as a leadoff hitter, you're going to see more pitches in the zone because they're not going to challenge you. Or they are going to challenge you because they don't want to challenge the other guys.
Right.
You know, so you're going to see those fat pitches at first because they're going to want to pitch around the guys behind you. You know, if you look at Fowler's whole career, he's been average at best. This past year, he blew up, had a great season, and he got paid. Good for him. You know, even though if it's with the fucking Cardinals. But, yeah, I just remember I looked at David. I'm like, I don't know if I can keep my mouth shut with this conversation.
See, I think really your problem with that conversation should have been, wait, how did you hear Jason Hayward out of Dexter Fowler?
Yeah.
That really should have been. Well, they're not even close.
And now you have a whole race issue because they're both black, and so he mixed them
sure.
up.
Oh, sure. The only two black guys on the team, you got confused. Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's... You know what?
The fans are always like, honestly, and I hate to say it because we are all fans mm-hmm. in one way or the another, you know, baseball, hockey, that other game, basketball.
There's a ball in it somewhere.
They have points.
You know, we're all fans, but there's like just that different level of how much you're actually paying attention to each sport. You know, right. I will flat out say I am a Cubs fan. I don't watch almost any games during the season until they get to the playoffs. Right. You know, I just can't pay enough attention. Same with the Bulls. If the Bulls ever make it back to the playoffs, I will probably watch those games. But that's going to be about it.
Well, I'll go as far to say that, you know, obviously the Cubs are my number one team.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the Bears and the Blackhawks, they're pretty even.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy watching the Blackhawks.
Seesaw between those two.
The
teams.
Bears would be fine if they were any good ever. Then there would be, I would kind of have a like, but it's only, you know, the Bears, it's one game a week.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the Hawks, what, four games sometimes?
But I have to credit the Cubs for me being a fan of the Blackhawks. Because if you look at the timing, when the Blackhawks started their run, that's right when the Cubs started their rebuild.
Right.
And that rebuild was fucking brutal to watch. I mean, we were rooting for guys like Donnie Murphy and Cody Ransom.
And
so
Donnie Baseball.
Yeah. So, yes, I went and looked at, you know, the Hawks, who I was a fan of before, but I paid more attention to them because it was just something to grab onto.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was because of the Cubs rebuild. The timing of it was just, in my opinion, perfect because I didn't want to pay attention to the Cubs during that rebuild. I knew what they were doing. I wasn't getting upset with them for what they were doing, you know.
You wanted to tank to
get guys like, you know, Bryant and Schwarber.
Right, just had to go through the motions.
Exactly, and I knew what they were doing. A lot of fans didn't. And, you know, those are the fans who are like, fuck this team, I'm over it, they're never going to be good. And, oh, wow, they won the World Series,
yeah,
I'm back.
Yeah. Those are the same people that are like, yeah, World Series champs, best team ever.
That's why when I go to a Hawks game, if I'm going to buy tickets, I only buy them 300 level.
Yeah.
It's not just because they're the cheapest, but that's where all the actual fans are. The guys that actually saw or knew Eddie Belfour or Jeremy Roenick, you know, all of those great players, those are where they sit. They can't afford those seats in the 100 level. They can't afford the seats in the 200 level. They sit in the 300 level.
Yeah.
That's where the real fans are. That's why I will always try and sit there. When we took Amelia, you know what? Any other place, like, I really think that people would have been upset that we had this little, you know, little girl with us playing on our laps and, mm-hmm. you know, kind of disrupting everything if you're really paying attention to a game. She was kind of distracting. By the end of the game, she's giving high fives to the guys behind us. She's playing with, the, like, she's pretty much at the point where she's going to jump out of our laps into their laps. Just because they were having so much fun with her. They were paying attention to the game. They were having a, it was a great game in general. Heck, at one point, she actually jumped into the girl sitting next to us arms. She just went, I'm done here. Boom. She went. And it was a fantastic game to begin with, but the fact that these guys, not only did they know what was going on in the game, they mm-hmm. were able to pay attention to both. You know, a bad play was made. Oh, it was Campbell's fault. It was, in fact, Campbell's fault. I don't think this guy was paying attention to the game at all. He just knew, because he was that much of a fan, whose fault it probably yeah. was.
Brett.
Ben. What?
No, Brett. Oh, Grant. how you doing over there?
Over his head.
I'm here.
So Brett's here, too.
I'm here, too.
Brett's here? He's
here's my question about level 300.
Okay.
At what point do you get so high that you're better off just staying home and watching it on TV?
When you're in standing level?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the 300 level, you can see everything, even at a basketball game. I mean, honestly, the last time I went to a Bulls game, we were actually six rows off behind the net, mm-hmm. which was really cool.
Yeah.
If you get a chance and someone's going to give you tickets, take them. 300 level, I like because you can see everything going on throughout the entire court or ice rink. Whereas when you're at the 100 level in basketball, it's a little different because you don't
have. Sat like what, we sat four really rows. Close. Yeah.
Yeah, we were yeah, like four rows behind the Bulls.
But you don't have that, you know, the blockade
right.
that mm-hmm. keeps, you know, the puck in right. play. Yeah. So for me, a Hawks game is definitely better up there. But even at a Bulls game,
mm-hmm.
it's a great level to be at. You can see everything. It's not like, oh, I mean, if I can see the puck from up there, you can definitely see the basketball.
Oh.
Especially with your glasses.
Now that I have glasses.
I would definitely prefer the 200 level if I had the choice, because you definitely have a great view of everything.
Right.
But 300 for the price is still the best.
I just remember going to the United Center once. We had level 300 seats for the circus, and we were above the high wire act. And to me, that was just like, I'm looking down yeah. on the high
well,
wire.
And the announcer was like, look high above you. And we had a, oh, there it is.
We had a peek down.
Well, see, but I think it's for more so for what you're going for. For a right. show, you want to sit close.
Right.
Yeah.
For, you know.
For a game that's going to happen all below you anyways, no right. matter where you sit. Even yep. if you're in the 100 level at the top level, they're below you technically.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
So it's for me, it's definitely nice to be able to see the entire ice. Mm-hmm.
But do you find yourself ever like watching the scoreboard more than the actual players?
No, actually, I don't. Okay. The only time would be if I was like in the and there was one time that happened during the game where I had to get up. So when I came back, puck was in play. So I knew as a real fan,
you don't move.
You stay there. While I don't believe that it really disrupts the players, if I'm up at the 300 level, I'm not going to chance it.
They let it go through and Carver's like, that fucking guy.
Yeah, he pointed there. Right at me.
That guy.
I'd be behind him.
I see him. He's right there. That guy.
So, I mean, and during the game, that just upsets the fans in general.
Yeah.
That people do that. So I stood that was the only time I watched the scoreboard over the actual play. Hmm. I think up in that level, no matter where you sit at the UC, at least you really can see. Standing level, I think you can see if it's not totally sold out. But I have done standing room once, and I will never do it again because you couldn't see anything because the game was so packed, and they were playing the effing Carolina. I mean, they were playing nobody.
Yeah,
I just don't understand paying, you know, close to $100 a ticket to stand. I'll sit on my couch at that point.
Yeah, right. That's
or at a bar. I mean, if I'm going to spend that money, I'll go buy. Buy beer and wings and everything. You know,
we sat out by the bar and watched the game.
Yeah.
All right. I think on that note, we're going to take a little break. We'll see you on our next episode. In the meantime, if you want to talk to us, shoot us a comment on Facebook, facebook.com/shootthestuff. Probably where you're listening to this at the moment, anyway. Or shoot us an email at shootthestuff@gmail.com. For Shoot the Stuff, my name's Brett.
I'm David.
I'm Grant.
I'm Ben.
And we'll see you next time.